This is the Water Boys podcast presented by Crossing Broad. Hello, everybody. I am Coach Gary. With me, as always, Mr. Kyle Pagan. I'm out of languages this week. I'm going to go back to the drawing board. Before we get started, I want to apologize to the millions and millions of fans and listeners for being a day late. Hand up. My bad. Forgot I had a rehearsal dinner last night. Called Kyle. I was like, hey, man, I fucked up. Can't record tonight. So now you're getting it on Thursday. You angry at me at all?
No, not at all. I mean, family's family. Hey, it's like, what is it? Dom Toretto. Family.
So. I don't know who Don Toretto is. Is that the guy? Is that a Godfather reference?
No, it's Vin Diesel in Fast and the Furious.
Never seen one of them.
Wow.
Maybe Tokyo Drift.
That's probably the worst one, but hey.
I don't know how. I think it was like on HBO one day and I wound up watching it and I was like, this movie sucks.
Watching Tokyo Drift is like watching like Grown Ups 2 or Godfather 3.
Let me tell you something. And my wife gets me on. I know we have to talk about sports at some point. My wife gets angry. I'm a big Grown Ups 2 guy. I love Grown Ups 2.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with Grown Ups 2, but you watch Grown Ups 1 before you watch Grown Ups 2. It's like watching the Chamber of Secrets, like Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. Like you're skipping over the Sorcerer's Stone or the Philosopher's Stone if you're in Britain.
For the intelligent people who call the Philosopher's Stone.
I think there's one guy who is an Irish guy who listens to this. Shout out. I think it's Conan. Eagles. Yeah, I think he's Irish. So like we gotta make sure we are inclusive on this.
I'm gonna come to Scotland in like 3 years. So if this guy has any hot tips for it, hook me up. Let's talk Eagles and the NFL owners meetings. Howie looks beautiful. I don't know if you saw the Photoshop. I wish that was real with him with the beautiful locks. But date Howie, he looks hot. The problem is, you know, once he opens his mouth, it's coming out, you know, like going to live and playing.
Yeah, he looked like he was taking the kids out to Applebee's, really. I didn't think he looked hot.
Do you think Sirianni's hot?
What do you think of the coach picture? Did you think he looked good there? Did you like the
he
outfit?
He was hidden in the back corner, wasn't he?
Yeah, but like they hit Andy Reid. They hit, you know, a bunch of guys. I love that the bald-headed guys are all around each other. That was funny.
The coach picture is one of the more intentionally funny things. Like,
yeah,
every year it's very funny.
Nick's got a closet full of Nike golf polos and just different assortment of color of khakis. And that's okay.
Oh, yeah. What else are you really going to wear as a guy nowadays? Maybe corduroy? You want to mix a corduroy in?
I think it depends on where you're at in your life. You saw John Harbaugh, who was in front of Sirianni. He had a great dad quarter zip, a little dress shirt hanging out. Some good slacks. And then you also have dad Matt Rhule. And that's a guy who hates his fucking life. His pants would have got drafted top five in the 03 draft.
I saw that tweet you put out. I chuckled at that one. But I was going to ask you about your boy. I mean, he's a beaten down man. He's the NFL. I don't know if the NFL wife pines for him like the way he pined for it. I think let's get the rumors going. I'd love to get him back to Temple.
Oh, my God. I would love to get him back to Temple.
You know what? Hold on. I want to address the elephant in the room. I've been making a lot of Temple jokes at your expense for no reason, really. I don't even hate Temple. I actually root for them. I was thinking today, just like I was listening to the radio, listening to a few podcasts about the tournament. All I want is a Temple run now.
Garrett, I say this all the time, and this is going to be a Temple podcast right now for the next 2 minutes. They would be the most beloved team in the city. 100%. If they could make a run in either football or basketball, because half the media members all went to Temple in some way or have a significant other who went to Temple in some way. It's the biggest school in the city. What they have to do is, I don't know if you know this, I don't think you do know this because you don't follow Temple, half the basketball team transferred. Half the basketball team transferred because they're in the AAC. Their job in the next, whatever the contract for the AAC runs out, they're getting paid $7.5 million, so they're not getting out of that contract anytime soon. That's an insane amount of money to pay Temple. Once that contract's over, they need to just go to one of the Power Fives and say, please let us in, because they can build a program if they're in one of the Power Fives. One of the guys that transferred, his list was like, wasn't like any teams that were like high Big 12 teams, high SEC teams, high Big 10 teams. It was all fringe teams.
What
they
has to be suck
in,
the
they
most
be in front of like what they want to be in front of fans.
What has to suck the most, it just has to be that the Big East folded, because they got into the Big East, didn't
it was fault.
Villanova's fault.
They were a Big East team in football only. Big East folded 1 or 2 years later. Villanova talked a bunch of shit on them to the commissioner of the Big East. And
what division is Villanova in?
They're in Big East. So the Big East is basketball now, but the Big East in football folded.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. Villanova doesn't care about the Big Five, and they're not a Philly school.
Okay. I mean, you've been making that point pretty heavily. Are you rooting against them?
No, because that video on Monday, if they go to the final and win it,
mm-hmm.
and me in mainline with a bunch of kids just going fucking nuts, it's an easy 10, 20,000 views on Twitter.
You know, you guys always talk about the mainline. I don't even know what that means. I assume it's just like Morristown kids in New Jersey. All those kids. I mean, I live in Medford now. I live in Medford Lakes, but I'm in the Medford area. So
isn't Haddonfield pretty rich?
Haddonfield, Morristown.
Yeah, I would say like any main street kind of thing.
Collingswood.
Is what mainline would really be.
Yeah, so kind of the rich areas. But let's talk about the owners' meetings. I think you had a couple good takes on it but in the offseason in general, but let's give me your thoughts on what's going on right now. I want to hear you first.
So I have a really boring answer on the offseason, and it just relates back to last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, last year the schedule comes out, everyone's angry and everything. We're going to win 3 games. We're going to win 4 games. Me and you, we find 10 games. And that's what you got to do. You got to find 10 games. You look at it, and what'd they go? Did they go 8-9? 7-9? 9-7?
No, 9-8. They won 9 games. They didn't win 10 games. If you go back, I like talked myself into like them being a 9-10 win team.
Yeah. And it's okay to do that. But that's what it's kind of like when you look at the offseason right now and everyone's like, they didn't sign enough people. Howie fucked up the cap. I can't believe we're bringing Fletcher Cox back for $14 million. That's fine. Like if you want to be angry at Howie, you want to be angry at someone else, you don't believe in these third-round pick or 3 first-round picks, that's fine. But we don't know what the hell is going to happen this season. Because I was expecting 3 to 4 wins last year, realistically. And now we have a second-place schedule, and it's not going to get any easier. So
no,
who knows if we're playing Trevor Siemian next year. Like, that wasn't on my bingo board.
Me and you talked about this at one point. This kind of leads itself to being an all-time letdown year because, they overachieved last year, and they also beat every game they win. Go look at every game they won. A key piece of an offense or defense was out on injury. It is one of the more absurd seasons, and I think people just forget, and they have like these, you know, they have the green glasses on, but that playoff game really shined a light on the deficiencies of what the Eagles are and what Hurts is and how much they need help around him. Look, obviously they were shopping for a quarterback. They couldn't get one this year, and it's, you know, they were going to be paying a lot for it. I hope they're not going to take one of these guys in the draft. Look, I've had this take before. If you're going to waste one on Malik Willis at 15 or 16, I'm fine with that to make him a project, but then you got to take defensive players or a wide receiver with the other two. But at the same time, like, they're just – the offseason to me so far has kind of been, let's add in some supportive players and we're going to really build this draft. We're going to go at the draft. I have a weird feeling they might take 3 times now.
Hmm.
It would make a lot of sense to move back and get another pick for next year to keep yourself competitive in the quarterback market. And everyone's all over the quarterback from Alabama. Everyone loves him. Maybe that's what they're after. I don't know. Tiny. He is kind of tiny, but he just drops it in.
Yeah.
He throws it well.
The way I kind of look at like 3 first-rouners is like, I just look at them as like mid-level free agents, but on a team-controlled contract. Like a little probably less than Hassan Reddick, guys that you like don't know if they can be what Hassan Reddick is, but you obviously hope that one day they become Hassan Reddick. And I just think, like, right now, 3 first-rounders, if they use them, you can find value in the second round now. Like, I feel like there are stars in the second round now.
You can find stars in the 3rd and 4th round. Remember Zach McPherson, people were talking about him being, like, this fantastic prospect, and they got him, I think, in the 4th round. He didn't really pan out this year, but he was a rookie. But, like, they can build on that kind of stuff. Let me play this game with you. If you take 3 picks, right, if you take all 3 – and it turns out in 5 years, you basically got Fletcher, Derek Barnett, and Brandon Graham out of those 3 picks, right? You got a bona fide star, a guy who really came into his own towards the end of the career, and then you have a guy who's not doing great, but he's getting a second contract because he has value to your franchise somewhere, right? So, like, if you can walk away with a star and 2 serviceable players, I think it would be successful. But with three, you have to find a star. I also think all the people getting upset about them not going out and getting a big name free agent wide receiver. Me and you were talking about this on the phone today. the market now has been set so high, $30 million a year to pay these guys, these top-end echelon wide receivers, that you, if you have that and a quarterback, you really can't afford the rest of the team. So it makes way more sense just to draft a guy and hopefully be able to be – maybe he's a middling guy you can get for $18 million a year. Like if Devontae Smith is turns out to be this crazy prospect, in 4 years from now after that fifth-year option – you're looking at paying him probably close to $40 million a year because the market's only going to go up. And you have guys who are going to set the market. Deebo Samuel has to go on. AJ Brown has to go on. And
Christian Kirk set the market.
Christian Kirk set. You know, Doug Peterson really fucked us on that
one. Yes, he did.
But there's going to be these guys who are going to get contracts, and this is going to just keep happening. People get upset when Matt Stafford was the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. And that's what you want to do when you're a free agent, is set the market for the next guy. That's what the union loves, and all the other players like that too. So you have to really look at this from a cap perspective. And if they're not going to inflate the cap like crazy, you're going to see a lot more of these off seasons like this, where players are moving all around because you can't fit all these players under the cap.
People also have to like want to come here. Like that's, I feel like people forget. Like, you have to want to come. And people are, like, mad that, like, Juju signed for, I think, $3.5 to $5 million.
Yeah.
That motherfucker's playing with Pat Mahomes. Does he want to play with Pat Mahomes? Does he want to play with Jalen Hurts?
I think there's an odd there's a little bit of an oddity right now. Like, so everyone that they signed this year has some kind of connection to being here. Like, Kaiser White had a connection.
Hassan
Reddick. I think Pascal had a connection just through the coach. Oh, but there's another guy.
But it's might be from Jersey too, Pascal. I forget.
It just feels like everyone has like some sort of connection to here, and they're coming here maybe for a passion more than they want to come here. We're not overly marketable right now. It's not like you have a great quarterback, and like I know word definitely gets. I don't know how the Ben Simmons things would affect it, but like word could get around, be like maybe these fans are really tough on me, and I don't want to go where there's gonna be a little bit on it.
Yeah, we just signed Castellanos and Schwarber.
Excuse me.
We just signed Castellanos, Schwarber.
Baseball players are different, though.
No. No one is not coming here because they're afraid to be booed. You
it's
don't
not what I'm saying.
But it seems like you're saying that. You don't get to the NFL worrying about what people think. You step on people's throats to get to the NFL. All haters, all doubters, all of that. Go ahead, but prove your point.
I don't even know if it's proving of a point. I just think like right now, it's obviously not desirable to come here, one, because of the quarterback play and there's question marks, but two, it's like, maybe they read enough and they're like, all right, you know what, if I'm going to go play here or go play with, I don't know, Jameis Winston in New Orleans, I'm just going to go there.
I don't know how many people want to do that. Are you saying that me yelling at Kyrie was directly affected for the Eagles free agency?
Yeah, I think actually you might have ruined the Eagles offseason.
No, I mean, like, Allen Robinson, you want to go play for the Super Bowl champions or you want to come here? Christian Kirk, we mentioned him. Like, go get that money. No one's going to pay you. But, like, they were in on Marcus Williams.
They were in on everybody.
They were in on Allen Robinson.
But they couldn't convince anyone to sign here. And I don't know if it has – I'm not saying it's the fans. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if there's – is there a schema right now around Philadelphia? It's been very public the last 2 years with some of the stuff that goes on here.
I know you're not saying the fans, but – no, I mean, I would look at that and be like, you know, it has been pretty public. You know, there has been some stories.
Wentz and
that
Simmons, those are two guys that
you really think that?
No, I'm just saying, like,
I would love to hear if you do, because, like, I mean,
I don't know if I
would
think
pay attention for that.
I don't know if I think it. You know what I do for a living? I drive around a lot, so I think about these things all day. So I'm like, yeah, you know, like. Maybe if I am a prospective free agent, I see how these two quote unquote stars were, I don't want to say treated, but how it panned out for them. Like, what's going on there?
You do have to be a certain person to play
100%
in this city. And I would say you'd also have to be a certain person to play in Boston,
yes,
to play in New York, to play in, I would say out in Fort Worth, Texas,
Chicago.
I would say out in Fort Worth where the Dallas Cowboys are, you have to be a certain person to play out there. Now, you don't have to be a certain person to play out in L.A.
But Pittsburgh.
But in San Francisco, you do have to be a certain person to play. Like, those fans are nuts. But, like,
it's just something that – you know what? It's not what I'm saying. All I'm saying is it's an intriguing thought to go into, that maybe these two high prospects that came here that had very public issues with one, connecting with their team, and two, obviously they get piled on by the fans. It's just a lot.
Is there anyone you're mad they missed out on? Like, is anyone like breaking your heart that they missed out on?
I would have liked Marcus Williams. I would have, okay. But like, I'm not upset over not getting Marcus Williams. I think it would have been a good signing. I go back. I'm surprised Allen Robinson got what he got. I thought he was going to get closer to an Alshon deal, maybe a 1 year prove it deal because he had been so injured. And I was super interested in that because he's a good route runner, big body who catches balls. I was into that. And then if Mike Williams became available, I would have been into that. But he didn't. So, you know, I think the more and more I think about it, there's still Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry still free agents.
Tyrann Mathieu. I don't know if he's out of the price range and everything, but like
Jadeveon Clowney's still a free agent. There's still guys out there. Stephon Gilmore. I think, and Adam Schefter said it this morning on the John Kincaid show. It's like, listen, free agency's over. These guys are going to go and focus on the draft now. And this second tier will start signing for lower prices. Maybe some will still get a good deal after you've kind of filled your holes with the draft, because with the way the cap is now constructed, you really need it's. There's so much focus on this draft because you need to get cheap talent in the door if you're going to pay these high contracts. And luckily, the Eagles don't have absurd contracts right now.
Yes, I agree. I mean, I'm looking at the top right now: Von Miller, J.C. Jackson, Teron Armstead, Christian Kirk.
I think Von Miller just signed with Buffalo.
No, he did. No, I'm looking at these guys that got the highest dollar amounts from people like Brandon Scherff, Chandler Jones, Allen Robinson, Hassan, Za'Darius Smith. Like, none of these guys I'm worried about. Like, Marquez Valdes-Scantling got $30 million. Like, that's a lot of money for Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
Over how many years, though?
It's over 3 years.
So it's a $10 million deal, which
15
is
guaranteed or... Yeah, $15 million guaranteed. Like that's,
we also say this all the time. Like, me and you were breaking down the cap. Like, is the cap real?
No, the cap is not real. And that's why, like,
it is real when you're paying $30 million a year for a wide receiver. Dead cap is real, though. Yes.
Like, dead cap is real. Like, I think next year, Kirk Cousins could fuck up the Vikings. Or I really do think with the way, and I'm sure they're saying they're in lockstep now, but, like, say the Packers, like, blow up. Mm-hmm. He's got $90 million in dead cap next year. Like, he straddles a thin line of crazy person, normal person, week to week.
But the NFL is also going the way where the players are becoming a little bit more powerful, can talk their way out of places, and they can just go score shirts. I mean, we've seen NBA players do it 1,000 times. They're like, I'm just going to freaking destroy this franchise because I don't want to be here anymore. And then the franchise has to scramble and figure it out. It sucks because the NFL, like the importance of a quarterback in the NFL is so high. At the end of the day, Tyreek Hill leaving Kansas City, I don't think is going to be as impactful as everyone makes it out to be. I don't think he's going to be as impactful down in Miami. I think it's trouble waiting to happen down there, to be honest with you. But it's just like, I've never liked the player empowerment era, and it's not that I don't like these guys speaking out. It's just that, like, if you give me your word, do what you said. Like, that's kind of always been my thing.
Well, it's not going to get any better. I mean, that Deshaun Watson contract being fully guaranteed will mess up with a lot of people. It will mess up with one guy in particular, Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. Let me hear your Lamar Jackson takes, because I know you're interested into him now.
I just see something where it's very weird. Steve Bisciotti had a very weird comment today that it was a very unique situation that Lamar Jackson hasn't come to them yet for a contract extension. It's a very unique situation that he doesn't feel worthy. And I think he's going to be looking at around $200 million. But then it's on the other side where he was like, yeah, everyone's like pissed. Peter King wrote this, like, everyone is not talking to the Browns down in Florida because they're pissed that they guaranteed this Deshaun Watson contract. You can always guarantee contracts.
The Kirk Cousins contract was guaranteed too,
wasn't
it? But
not all guaranteed. This is fully guaranteed.
Wait, I thought Kirk Cousins got a fully guaranteed contract.
Then this is the first five-year guaranteed deal. But I'm pretty sure this is the first fully guaranteed contract in the history of NFL football. And you could always do this.
I gotta look this up because I have a weird feeling that Kirk Cousins got like a 3-year fully guaranteed deal.
But you could always do this. And this is like the NFL owners colluding to not make sure they give out fully guaranteed deals to QBs. So now I'm looking at this with, like, is Lamar Jackson the first 25-year-old to ever say no to $200+ million? Like, that's just insane to me that he would go into this year, potentially hurt himself after only playing 14 games, and then take the franchise tag for next year when he could just go to them, according to Steve Shoddy, who's waiting on it, and you don't become a billionaire handing out $200 million to people. Mm. But I'm just saying, he could easily go to them and set his family up for multiple generations. With multiple generations, it just feels very odd that he's the most unique 25-year-old in the world. So I'm just saying, you didn't think Tyreek Hill was going to be traded 2 weeks ago. You didn't think Davante Adams was going to be traded 2 weeks ago. I didn't think Matt Ryan. I know it's a whole different situation. I didn't think he was going to be traded 2 weeks ago. But like, you look at these guys and stuff, and a lot of people are like, "Well, why would the?" And I'm lacing this back to the Eagles. Like, why would the Eagles want to give $200 million? That's a 25-year-old kid, man. That contract's done by the time he's 30. Not to mention the TV deals are going to shoot up because of off the pandemic. And not to mention that contract's not going to mean jack shit in 1 year. You got Justin Herbert who needs to get extension. You need Joe Burrow needs to get extension.
You can say the same thing about the Deshaun Watson contract. And when these guys now go to set the market, it won't matter. The problem is they fully guaranteed it, which I get what you're saying with them being pissed about that. But at the same time, what, Deshaun Watson's what, 27?
24, 25.
He's 24, 25. So, like, fully guaranteeing that for a guy who is definitely a better quarterback than Lamar Jackson, like, I would sign up for that deal.
Got more MVPs. 26, Deshaun Watson's 26.
Yeah, okay. But, yeah, I mean, listen, are you sitting here, like, advocating for the Eagles trade for Lamar Jackson if he becomes available? Okay.
Yes. Like, yeah, that's what I'm getting. That's what I'm getting to. Like, I don't think he's – I don't think he's – it's a package of Deshaun Watson. Like, I definitely don't think that. And I know people don't like, you know, the running QBs and whatnot. But, like, could you get could you get Lamar Jackson for two firsts or maybe a first, a second, you know, like a package kind of like
– can it cost you at least three firsts?
I don't think so. But you would have thought that with Tyreek Hill – but they had to extend him. So now you're playing that way, where it's kind of like in the NBA, where it's a sign and trade.
Quarterback, though, too. Like, that's the problem. The quarterback is where it really changes everything. Look, I don't have as much fun as he is to watch. I just don't – I would have no interest in him. I don't think he'll ever win a Super Bowl. I just, like, don't know if he's a good enough passer. And when you get him at 25 years old and he runs as much as he does, like, you're going to look at that running backs dropping off at 30, and if he can't develop as a passer, I'm just not interested.
Then you're out of the contract at 30.
Yeah, but if you don't win anything, you wasted your time.
But like, you have 5 years. For the next 5 years, you have Lamar Jackson. You have what you know. You have a guy behind the Eagles offensive line, which is one of the best offensive lines in
You won't probably have a 2-year window with that offensive line.
As long as Jeff Stoughton is there, they will be one of the best offensive lines. I'm just saying, you got a guy for the next 4 or 5 years. By 30, if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But I know what I have for the next 5 years. Yeah, the 64% completion percentage. I don't love it either. It's right above Jalen. But, you know, the guy only played 14 games last year, and he was passing for 240 yards per game, which is, I think, 13th. Last year. I mean, so this guy can throw the ball. He's never played with a wide receiver like Devontae Smith. He's got a top five tight end like he does in Baltimore with Dallas Goedert. And behind this offensive line, like, I just think it would be awesome. I think black quarterbacks have always done well in this city. I don't know why. They always have. I think Lamar Jackson would be perfect for this city. He's a better person than Deshaun Watson. He's got a former MVP and he can sling the rock.
He can throw
it. One more. Watch the Colts Ravens highlights. I sent it to Gary.
It was 18 minutes long. What do you think? I could watch an episode of The Office in the same time. What are we doing? Oh,
4 game winning drives last year, too.
Okay.
Look, guy's a winner.
I just don't know if I would have interest in him. I don't know. Would you would you be doing the same thing with Kyler Murray, though?
I'm not a Kyler guy.
No, me either.
Kyler
Murray's got a better arm.
Oh, no doubt. You're not. I don't think he's got it really between the ears. That's fair. That's a big thing that people are saying.
Is that just like an Oklahoma thing? Like, these guys just aren't going to pan out.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I know you're half joking, but I know you're kind of serious when you're like, I like Baker Mayfield. Well, your boy only had one more touchdown than Lamar Jackson last year, and he played in 2 more games.
Yeah, but how many AFC Championship games has Lamar been to? Zero.
You got me there. How many? How many have they won?
Zero.
At least they've both won zero. Oh, stop it.
At least he's been there, dude. It's like the McNabb thing. At least he's been there.
Should have beat Chad Henne. I'm just like, man.
Should have beat Chad Henne.
Lamar Jackson here. That would be a guy I'd buy a Kelly Green jersey for. I'm not a jersey guy.
not a jersey guy. Are you excited about the Kelly Green jersey?
Oh, man. How can you not be, man? Nostalgia's the best.
Like, it is. And it's a good uniform, too.
It is a good uniform. Sheamus tweeted something today that the whites on silver pants with the green letters, that is an all-time uni, but I will take the Kelly Green.
I wish I'm fine with people. I'm going to get roasted for saying this. I would throw the midnight green in the trash to go back to Kelly Green full time. It's just a better look. It's a better look. Like, I know we have successful winning football under the new uniform and new logo. First of all, the flying eagle with the bird in his claws, 1,000 times better logo. And the uniform is hot fire. It's fantastic. With a little bit of that black accent they got going on, too. Did you hear this? We're wearing a black helmet this year.
Yes. That is going to be awesome.
I think it's
going
to look cool. I know a lot of people aren't a big fan of the blackout whole thing. Listen.
The helmets look dumb, I think, with it.
Oh, I always thought the green contrast looks nice.
Oh, I don't. I like all black. Like, I want like Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Under the lights.
That's fine with me. I'm all for an alternate helmet. I'll take a look at it, but I hope it's literally just, I don't want an alternate logo on the helmet. I still want the wings. The Eagles have a top five helmet in the world. So.
Oh, you want the wings. Okay. But what about the talons? Like, you like the talon football?
Oh, no. I know what you're saying.
You want it on the shoulder pad, like the old school.
Yeah. No, what I'm saying is with this black helmet, I want my wings still on the helmet. Mm-hmm. Like, I always want the wings on the helmet. Like, if they go back to the Kelly Green uniform, I want the gray wings on there. It still looks good. Yeah. And if it would be even cooler with an alternate helmet. If you wear a white away, you can wear a white helmet with green wings on it. It looks sick.
I watched the
let's make it a crown show. I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I was watching the NFC Championship game against the Saints Rams when that big pass interference happened.
Yeah.
The Rams white helmets, some of the best helmets in the NFL right now.
Rams white helmets.
Pops. It's the white with I think the horns are white or the horns are silver. It just pops off the white helmet. It's so beautiful. White helmet just looks good. Looks good.
Yeah. You know what is a good helmet too? I always thought the Colts have a good helmet. It's simple.
Cowboys have a great helmet.
I don't care what anyone says. They have a good when they wear their whites, it's a good look.
So you would throw the midnight green in the trash?
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
100%. I'd be fine. I've also always said I would throw out, like, if I owned the Eagles tomorrow and I was like, no, you have to keep the midnight green colors, I would be wearing all midnight green at home and I'd be wearing all white on the road at all times. Mm. I like when they go one color.
Mm-hmm. Color rush.
The green jersey with the white pants is a dusty look. I don't care. You roast me. Fine with it. It's dusty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just Nike, don't fuck up the green. I have a scary thought that they're going to fuck up the green, try to get too modern. And it's just like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
No. Did we ever wrap up our talk on the offseason? Here's my final offseason take. Everyone just relax. Let's get through the draft and then we can complain after that.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens.
A lot of teams that have drafted 3 first rounders have not worked out. So do not draft 3 first rounders, Howie, with your track record.
Has any team ever actually drafted 3 first rounders? I know it's 2.
Three. I think the Raiders did it. That was the Clelin Ferrell draft. The Vikings did it. And I think that was Sharif Floyd. Or did we draft? There was like a Sharif.
We didn't draft Sharif Floyd.
It was Sharif Floyd draft. Like only like 1 out of 3, 2 out of 3 have only ever worked out. And then there was another team, I think in the early 2000s or maybe early 2010s.
See, but that's the crazy thing, though. I feel like it. 15, 16, and 19, if you just take best player available, you could probably walk away with good players. Like, I'm not sitting here bounding the drum for Devin Lloyd, but if he's there at 15, it's a good pick.
You're BPA, or are you more need?
No, I'm a BPA guy. Should always be BPA. Yeah. So, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you get to 15 and 16 and Lindblom and Lloyd are on the board, you take a center and a linebacker, and I'm fine with it.
Best player available, and if it doesn't, and if he becomes one of the best players, here, 2 first rounders. Guess who doesn't? Well, they might miss Jalen Ramsey, the Jaguars.
They don't count. They're not a real team.
Duval.
They're like one of those things where it's like everyone, anytime, like when they were good, it would have been the most Eagles thing of all time to lose to the Jaguars in the Super Bowl. I mean, that was my biggest fear, losing to a fake franchise.
What do you think about the OT rules?
I actually don't mind it. Like, there's people getting upset about it. I wish they would just do it in general, like make it always each team gets the ball. Mm-hmm. Like, it's good that they're doing it for the playoffs because it is ridiculous that both teams don't get to touch the ball. You should each have a shot to score. And the people are like, well, get a stop. You just hate fun. So get over yourselves.
Yeah. So people who don't know, like, it's only the playoffs. Both teams get a possession. If they both score, say both teams get, you know, a field goal, then the next team scores, wins, becomes sudden death. permission to add a little wrinkle?
Sure.
Just play 10 minutes, OT.
Full 10?
Cool. Play full 10. Okay. I can be talked down to 8. By the time both teams score, it's under 4 minutes anyway. So
fine if with both, it.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. I actually I liked the rule, too, where a lot of people were tossing this around, where it's like you can score a touchdown, and if you go for two and make it, the game's over. If not, the other team gets the ball back.
That'd be cool.
And they have a chance to score a touchdown and kick a field goal, win the game. Or kick an extra point, win the game.
And if the 10 minutes, it's tied after, next score wins. No NFL game should be ending in a tie. Now, obviously, it won't because it's in the playoffs, but they will if the rule works.
The regular season, yeah. So the problem with – I know what they're doing with the regular – it's just like why they have the shootout in hockey. Like, you just can't be playing all these this time, football being the most physical sport as well. Now, the NBA doesn't give a flying fuck, right? Like, if you end tied in overtime, you just keep playing, right?
Keep going, baby.
Yeah. I mean, that's great. Baseball, we'll play 16 innings on a getaway day on Sunday. We don't care.
Yeah. But that was bad. I like the Ghost Runner.
I'm okay with the Ghost Runner. If it's not in the – I don't want it in the playoffs, so that's fugazi.
That's fine.
Like, I'm fine with the regular season. Baseball, I told you, I have already fixed baseball. New baseball. New NFL, new Major League Baseball.
Build a new hall.
Whole new thing. I was thinking about it today. God, like, they're talking about records today that are just so unobtainable. Like, God, I just want record chase. It's all I want.
Joe DiMaggio, we never even heard of him.
Yeah, well –
it's Jimmy Rollins' record now.
There you go. Is he second all time on that?
Yeah, I think he got to like 36.
Good for 40. Jimmy. That was over 2 years, though. That's an asterisk on that.
Shut up. do you know, though, for these overtime rules, we're going to get a game, a wild card game, and it's going to be like Tua versus Derek Carr. And teams are just playing within the 40s, and nobody can score. And it's just going to be like, end this fucking game. We have Chiefs-Bills coming up. Because for every Chiefs-Bills, you're going to get Tannehill versus Matt Ryan.
Yeah, let me tell you something. Super wild card weekend, as much as I like more football, has not given us better football. I mean,
game is good.
The 7 seed has never won, and they usually get blown out. I know it's only a 2-year sample size, but there's a reason why they're the 7th seed. They're not a good football team. They're a flawed football team playing a better team.
I'm trying to think who the Raiders game was good. The Tampa Bay Eagles game sucked.
Yep.
And then the Rams game sucked. Yeah. The Dallas San Francisco game was good.
Yeah.
New England Buffalo sucked. They got New England.
But the divisional blown out. Divisional round.
You're right. No, you're right.
The divisional round is so good.
And we now got you a Monday guy.
No, I hate this whole Monday night.
That's because you're old. That's you're an old fart with a kid. And your job.
No, I just – come on. Like, Monday Night Football for playoffs, stupid.
Oh, it's great.
No, you don't even like Monday Night Football. I guess Aikman and Buck are doing it now, right? Is that what's happening?
Well, I'm not an announcer guy. I just put it on mute or I'd go listen to the Mannings.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just like – I'm anti Monday Night Football.
Well, you'll be back on with Buck and Aikman now. And they'll actually give them good games now.
They need better games. Thank you. That's what they need. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't need to be watching the Jets and the Bills. I don't need it.
No, they'll be good games. Hey, one more thing before we get out of the Eagles. There was, I don't know if you saw this, Betsy Ross House. If you don't know this story, they tweeted about a fake Darius Slay. The Betsy Ross House was like, hey, look, Darius Slay holding a flag. It's like these two guys and their three children. And then this makeshift Betsy Ross. Is there anyone you could do that? Like, is there anyone you could impersonate and be like, hey, I'm so-and-so. I get free drinks.
Back in college, a couple times when we would travel to the South for lacrosse, a lot of people told me I looked like Jonah Hill or sounded like Jonah Hill.
Okay.
And didn't know if it was ever a compliment or not.
That, yeah, you take that the way you want to.
But at one super of the funniest
bad guys in Hollywood.
It had came to the point, or at least it was like after the major weight loss, like he was still a big boy, but not like accepted Jonah, more like super bad Jonah.
Yeah,
I'm okay with that. Also, like, I'm assuming if I had a little bit of a younger face and dyed my hair black, I could probably pass Randy Milonakis.
Okay, that guy. I mean, there will never be a more shocking turn of events than when I found out that guy was like 30 years old and I thought he was 20.
Dude, when that show came, go back and try and watch that show. Can you believe that you ever watched it? Fire theme song.
Yeah. Oh, my God. They'll put peas on my head, but don't call me a pea head.
Yeah.
Bruce Lee's on my head, but don't call me a Lee head.
Excuse me. Now I got to get some. What is it? Cheese fed?
Cheese fed, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it is the ultimate dumb comedy that just worked. And it was just him running around with a microphone in New York City or LA.
It's also so funny that we just grew up in the golden age of MTV with Viva La Bam, Wild Boys, Jackass.
Look at him now. Oh.
It's sad. It's a sad. It's a story of tragedy.
It's sad. It's like watching your favorite child actor grow up. But, you know. One guy, though, and I know you know the story.
Yeah.
Ersan Ilyasov ever comes back to Philadelphia, I am getting anything for free. I'm getting into the Wells Fargo Center. I'm getting into the Sixers locker room.
How's your accent, though? Like, do you think you could pull it off?
One time, I was bartending at this time. I was bartending full-time, and we all went to this bar called The Industry in South Philadelphia. It was just, you know, an industry bar and whatnot. Sixers just got done playing like an hour ago or 45 minutes ago. It made no sense that Ersan Ilyasova would travel from Wells Fargo Center, do all the press conference shit, and get to a bar with hanging out with the most random people in the world. But this guy comes up to me and goes, "Are you Ersan Ilyasova? Can I buy you a shot?" And I didn't hear him at first. And I said, "What?" And he goes, "Ersan Ilyasova, right? Can I buy you a shot?" And I just quick went, "Oh, yes, I am Ersan Ilyasova. A shot?" And he explains to me a shot. And I just went with it the whole time. And I got free drinks from this guy. And that's my Ersan Ilyasova accent.
There you go. There you go.
You just put on a random Soviet accent and you're Ersan Ilyasova.
You think there's anyone else you can do? I mean, Ersan makes the most sense for you, for sure.
Every time people comment in the TikTok comments, it's Michael Bisping. He's an MMA fighter.
Don't know who that is.
Cody Rhodes. He's a AEW fighter or a former WWE fighter. He's Gold Dust Kid, I think.
Okay. Let me ask you something. How are those TikTok comment sections?
Oh, they're putrid.
Are they?
Oh, my God. They just fight with each other.
You built a nice little TikTok following over there, right?
I did. I'm 18,000 strong. Go follow it at Waterboys.
Yeah, it's funny because like I know we have it. I just don't have TikTok and I'm too afraid to download it.
There's nothing.
I'm too old for it.
Yeah, dude, you have a kid.
Yeah.
30. Like I even feel old on it. I don't know how much longer I can be on it. The Chinese, they're just taking my face and just selling it for data out there and
allegedly in starting Xinjiang. Pandemics.
Yeah. So like the TikTok is just insane. I mean, I put up a video of this UNC fan saying that he wanted Coach K to win the title. I've got 100 comment threads of people just fighting back and forth. Like you gotta have better things to do, better time on your hands, and you find out that you don't. People don't.
No, we have to talk about this, the Will Smith thing, because it's a good transition. The Will Smith thing went from just being like old school Twitter funny, dropping memes, GIFs all over the place. And now it's like a debate over toxic masculinity. Scientology's being pulled into
privilege.
It. Like, yeah, I'm sitting there and I'm like, I think this was just a good old fashioned. You made fun of my wife, so I'm going to slap you situation. It's all it is, everybody. Fake. I think it's – I don't know. This is the problem. Like, I, like, want to say it's real because I'm a hopeful youth. I like to believe in things.
Yeah.
Believed in Santa for a very long time. Took me a long time to get that. I don't remember. Maybe 12. I don't remember. I know it was –
That's an all-time old Waterboy story.
It was comically long. But I want to believe it's real because I just don't think either person has much to gain from it. But I find it interesting that Chris Rock didn't go down because he's not a big guy and Will Smith is a big guy.
That's the thing. And that's, I think, adds to my, I think it's fake argument.
Okay.
It felt too professional. The sound didn't feel right. If you smack somebody, I don't know if you ever smacked someone before. I don't know if you ever got into a fight before or you punched somebody. It's awkward. The first punch is always awkward. It's just a reaction the other person has. You never leave. You very rarely land cleanly like that, and it just felt very like stunt double on a movie set kind of smack.
I think I told you it was weird. Like he walked up to him, and this is kind of why I think it might have been real. Like Chris Rock like didn't do anything because I'm pretty sure Chris Rock in his head he's like, there's no way, like,
yeah,
on the night where he's going to win an Oscar, like
but he doesn't know that.
I know he doesn't know that, but he was like the odds on favorite to win the Oscar. And I'm pretty sure like in his back, he probably knew like, hey, this is my Oscar to win.
You sit him out front. You don't sit the losers up front.
Right. I mean, unless you're Meryl Streep. Right. So like,
and Leo
football. Well, he's perfect. But anyway, it's just weird to me that like he already has a reputation of being a little bit out there, right? So like, it's just weird to me that he would one want to perpetuate that schema, and two, he wants to taint a night that is going to be life changing for him. And I don't know how life changing it is for him, but more, I guess, satisfying or confirming that he is a great actor.
That's a good.
Yeah,
a good
I just don't see. I don't see what he has to gain. I know Chris Rock has a tour coming up, and I know his tickets just went up. I'm also super excited.
That's secondary
for,
market, though. He doesn't see any of that money.
I'm sure that's fair, but I'm also excited for like week 12 of the NFL season. We're watching CBS, and then all of a sudden that comes on. Chris Rock, the real story behind the slap on 60 Minutes. You know it's going to happen. It's going to be the white guy talking real serious with the frontline voice. I'm excited for that.
So here you go. Here's how it benefits Will Smith. That Facebook watch show, that the Red Table Talk that they do, that's going to be one of the most watched ever. There you go right there. They're going to be selling advertising dollars. He already said no to today's show. He already said no to other E or whatever, the ones to have a sit down the next day. He's going to do it on there. Chris Rock will obviously benefit from, you know, maybe not this time with the secondary market and ticket sales, but, you know, maybe he's adding new shows. And that'll work out.
And he's going to have to address it at some point, right?
Like I think he's on stage in Boston tonight. So we'll get a video clip or something like that. Like we'll get one by the time we're probably off this podcast, or by the time, you know, the clock strikes midnight. But I just think it's fake because it's just security would have been out there. And also, if Will Smith is going around just smacking people, he's a Looney Tune.
Well,
that is a wild thing. Between the joke of him laughing, and it might have been on delay, like they said, and then Jada like looking like she's pissed. It was 10 seconds between the joke and Chris Rock going like, uh-oh, here we go. Now, Chris Rock did look very shook after. He did say documentary and still giving out an award for this documentary. I'll say that. Behind Questlove, he made a face off screen. I understand that. But there would have been security there. There would have been somebody there. It just felt so fake.
I think the funniest part of the whole thing is like he does that, then he just goes on to be able to give a 5-minute speech after committing assault.
Exactly. Like
he turns, I know people away are going to be like, "Oh, he didn't commit assault." Like, no, to the letter of the law, he assaulted Chris Rock.
His hands are behind his back.
Like, yeah, you're kind of convincing me. I don't know. And maybe it's the Oscars. Like, they obviously don't have good ratings, but who honestly gives a shit about the Oscars anymore? Like, do you really care?
So, Garrett, I'm watching the Oscars. And I'm like, you know, it's Sunday. It's like you just turn it on.
If I knew it was on, I probably would have turned it on.
But nothing landed. The jokes sucked. The bits sucked. It was hosted by people that I don't care about.
Amy Schumer was there?
Yeah. I think Wanda Sykes, Amy Schumer, Regina or Angela Hall. It's really bad. I always get them mixed up. I turn it off. I go watch Yellowstone. Great program. Anyone out there will agree. Gary, you start watching it.
Yeah, it's on my list.
My girlfriend's group chat, Yoko's group chat, starts going nuts.
Uh-oh.
What do? We turn the Oscars back on and watch for the rest of the time. We are dealing with the most creative people in the world in one room. I'd be shocked. I'd be angry more if this wasn't planned.
I mean, it also kind of – it really only helps Chris Rock because, damn, he's a hell of an actor.
I did say that too, where it was like, if this is fake, they are two of the best actors ever. And obviously Will Smith has his credentials. I don't think Grown Ups 2, hey, we'll call it back to Grown Ups 2. I don't think that's winning an Oscar anytime for Chris Rock, right?
You know what
is Chris Rock's like best performance?
What was – didn't he play – was Head of State him?
I don't remember.
He played the president at some point, didn't he?
Sure. Yeah, he was kind of – he was in Tyler Perry's Death at a Funeral. That was actually pretty good. He was in a lot of like animated shit. He made a lot of his money through animated stuff.
Longest Yard. We forgetting about that. Caretaker.
Longest Yard. Caretaker. He was pretty good in that. All right. You know what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. He dies.
Oh man. That's a great, I don't care what anyone says. That's another one where it's like, I prefer that one over the original.
100%. The fact that they called it back, put Burt Reynolds in it too. It makes it even better.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So where are you at? Fake or real?
I'm going to say it's – you think – I I like can't make a call. I'm going to say it's fake. I think it's fake. I'm with you on the fake side now.
Okay.
Because you're right, because I maybe it is real, because Hollywood's just that weird. They'd be like, oh, wait, I'm going to go slap this guy, and we're just not going to do anything about it, and then we're going to give him an award. It's just a lot. Like, if you really think of the chain of events in a normal society, it's a lot to just, like, let that carry on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like going up to, like, your awards dinner at work and, like, slapping the shit out of you because someone roasted you. And then winning also, employee of the month, like, 10 minutes now from now.
If it is fake, Jada Pinkett Smith, worst person on the world. She's getting all this. She's getting all this publicity over losing her hair. What is it called? Alopecia. Whatever it is. And she's making this awareness. She is profiting off a disease that she has.
I don't want to live in a world in the world where we're not allowed to make fun of non-deadly diseases.
I also love the joke. I also love the joke where it was because they're obviously in an open marriage. He's like, oh, if I don't slap her, someone else. If I don't slap Chris Rock, someone else is gonna have sex with my wife tonight.
Yeah, like that's the funny thing. Where it's like did August Alsina, and I know you don't know who that is. That's the guy that she slept with. Mm-hmm. If he got off scot free, like, come on, this cuck. I mean, Cuck was trending for a little bit, which was awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Did you watch the KFC One Minute Man about the Scientology, though?
No.
So apparently in Scientology, Scientologists are definitely out there, right? But listen, I don't religion shame you. Whatever you want to believe, you want to believe. I don't give a shit. Apparently in Scientology, it's like commonplace to slap somebody if they disrespected you. But if you don't carry out the deed, a higher ranking Scientologist can just slap your ass. So I'm almost wondering if Will Smith is like, holy shit, if I don't go slap Chris Rock, Tom Cruise is going to show up and beat the living fuck out of me. He's got Top Gun 2 coming out. He'd be slapping everybody.
What about all the other times that Will Smith was made fun of?
Well, he's getting made fun of. I don't know how it works. I don't want to dump into the world of Scientology, because I think that's the last people in the comments we want is Scientologists.
I don't know. I'd like to see the QAnon and the Scientologist guys go after each other.
Yeah, that wouldn't be too bad. Actually, I wouldn't mind going viral and then getting canceled. We'd have our moment.
Yeah. Oh, I plan to be canceled by 47, but I want money in the bank.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I'll say something stupid. What else do we have to talk about? I feel Sixers. Like we have more. Sixers, yeah, let's talk about that.
There's a couple things.
Joel Embiid needs to go up to the rack and fucking dunk last night.
I know you're just goading me right now.
Yeah, I know you're goading me a lot.
I know you're going to mean, but I saw this take from out of shape white people who never played basketball, who never dunked in their lives, where they're like,
seems personal. Seems very personal.
No. I've dunked twice in my life. That is me. That is me coming after people who have not done the same thing.
Time out. Are you embarrassed that you only dunked twice in your life being 6'5"?
Used to be. But yeah. I'm white, man.
Can you dunk now?
No, I couldn't dunk when I was 18.
Can you touch rim?
Yeah. You can't.
That's fair. I can touch the bottom of the net.
90% of my friends can't.
Yeah.
But I can. Fine.
I know. 30 years old. Like, you're 6'5". And you're not 30.
I just round up.
Okay. But, yeah. Continue on.
What was I talking about?
You're angry at white people.
If I honestly do believe this, what I'm about to say is I'm going to go a little shock jock on you. I would take a first round playoff exit for Doc to be fired.
I actually don't disagree with you on this take, because I think I've said it on the podcast. I'm just not a Doc guy. I think he's an asshole.
I don't think all the blame is on Doc, but I think a lot of it not getting the most out of these guys, not playing Paul Reed when the data is there, and then saying, I almost played Paul, but I was really comfortable, or I was doubling down on Paul Millsap and DeAndre Jordan. Like, do you still feel comfortable about the big guys? He said, yes, I do. Like, that's just a guy who doesn't watch film. That's a guy that just, like, he's like Trump when Trump would get the the dossiers. Like, he would get the intelligence reports and be like, nah, 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 chuck them out, throw them in the trash. Like, you read, like, three lines.
Right.
And, like, that's what I feel like Sam Cassell and Dave Yeager and all these guys are probably coming to him like, yo, Doc, we got to get Paul Reed, or Doc, we got to get Charles. And, like, pretty sure Charles Bassey has some insane defensive stat down in the G League. And I know it's the G League, but, like, there's still, you know, competition down there. Like, let's see if it can translate. But now with 2 weeks left to go, we can't do it. I mean, the guy just doesn't get enough out of his players. He doesn't have the basketball IQ for today's game. He can't make, you know, rotations. He can't make decisions in game. it's just, I don't know how you can not see that Doc Rivers, when you watch Bud, Coach Bud, who had the same kind of, they had the same kind of thought about him, where like he wasn't late in games, and he kind of switched it around, and obviously mm-hmm. won last year. Like, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, and Doc's old.
He also, he's like the only guy in like the world to blow 3-3-0 leads or something like that, right?
3-1, 3-0, yeah, just stuff like that. I mean, they had an article where they were talking about Tyronn Lue last week, and they mentioned the 25-point game that the Clippers, they were down 25, and they mentioned how they came back and won. And there was just like this Doc slander, like in the middle of the article, just like placed in there. They're like, yeah, you know, Kawhi was really happy to get someone in here with a big, high IQ. They call Ty Lue like Belichick and stuff for his in-game adjustments. Like, they see that shit. They know what the good is, and they know what the bad is, and they see it. And
I want Eric Spoelstra.
You want Spell?
I just want him. I feel like he got hated on. I want him. Or Luke Walton.
No, Spo's a top five, top six coach in the NBA. Like, Spo's should really respect. Like, Jimmy Butler's out of there before Spo's out of there. It's just... And it's not all on Doc, man. Like Joel Embiid has to be more demonstrative. Like, not on the court. Like, to his players.
Holding these guys accountable.
Like, holding these guys accountable. Like, but they're mentally soft. They're a mentally soft team.
Yeah. Can we talk about that last play, though? Because we and you had this conversation. I'm not saying, like, oh, you got to go up hard and dunk. But at the time, like, you would think, and I know there's, like, the awareness and the clock and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And he's like, hey, I got to get the ball up. But you would also think, if I just go up, I have a guy who's like 10 feet above me right now. I'm probably going to draw contact and draw a foul. He draws more fouls than anyone else in the world. And I hate that people complain about it, but he's a big boy. He draws fouls. So who gives a shit, right? I just think, in the sense, just go up hard and try and draw a foul.
That is the only counter argument I will take. The dunking one with 2.5 seconds left to go, I will not take that, because you could keep your hands on the ball and then we're all yelling at Joel for not shooting a layup and stuff. Like,
but the block was unreal.
The block was unreal.
Block was unreal.
It's a 2-time defensive player of the year for a reason.
Yeah, he's a lot of fun to watch.
He is the best player in the NBA. Like, he is the best player in the NBA. Like, he should probably eat into both Joel and Jokic's first place votes, which... Looks like now Jokic is the betting favorite at -125.
Dude, what's up with the Jokic game nerds on Twitter? I saw you went after one today. I feel like I'm going to talk to you, because I feel like we're going to. I think you just got to let them eat at you.
No, you're right. No, you do. One guy. I'm like a good like one guy. Like, I'm not going to fight with guys. Well, you know what? That's not right, because I fought with some guy who said Crossing Broad was better before I was writing there when Kyle was writing. And I said, is this more your speed? So who the fuck am I? I'm going after guys with 16 fucking followers. Like,
it's just funny that there's like some – I understand Crossing Broad's been around for a while, but like, that's something like usually reserved for Barstool. But like, oh, not my Barstool. Yeah, want you post
not my
one
Crossing
article.
Broad now? Like, what the fuck?
Leave Kyle alone, dude. He just started.
I'm writing about fucking – It was the slap. It was the Will Smith, Chris Rock slap. Like, I remember when they used to write about sports in this bitch. And I wrote about Jerry Jones's love child.
Yeah.
And I was like, was this more your speed? And the guy didn't reply to me. So you know what? I won that one. Maybe not, because I responded back to him. But
the best is when people don't respond, or if you play into it. Remember that guy who told us that everything we've done since the original Water Boys was shit?
And then we said something back to him, and he said, nah, I'm just kidding. Keep hustling.
Yeah, I just responded back with the George Michael gif of him walking very sad.
I've noticed that. More people are like that. If you respond back to him, all they want is attention. Like, it's the TikTok comments, people. Like, they're just 100 comment threads. They just want attention.
Listen, I'm not famous in any way, and I don't get a lot of interaction on my tweets, but if someone usually responds to me, if there's something I say, I just toss them a like every time. Be like, you know what? At least you know I'm out here reading your stuff.
I stopped doing that.
Did you? No more likes for you?
If it's something I don't agree with and it's just a stupid take or something stupid, fuck you.
Well, that's fair. Sorry. But like, well, if it's like, if they're calling, they're like, people like, well, you stupid idiot. Like, I don't want to. I'm like,
what,
I'm
you
not going to
follow for follow to too, you nerd?
No, I don't do that. You have to earn my follow. You really do.
Yeah. I'm the same way. I'm fucking, you need to earn my follow.
Yeah. No, but if someone, like, if I make a joke online, someone's like, oh, I was thinking the same thing. I'll be like, boom, there you go.
Oh, yeah. That's a great one. Yeah. Good for you. Just want to let them know. Hey, you just want to know. I'm here. I'm here. I'm reading your things. I'm a human too, just like you. I know we're on a digital landscape and we don't have any human interaction. We should have more of that, but I'm here and you're here. And it's dopamine.
Usually if someone's making fun of me, I just drop a drop an ironic gif on them.
You are good at the gifs when people make fun of you.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I think it's
funny. You win them back.
Yeah, because you're good at winning people back. I try, dude. I try. It really worked. So I worked on my wife on that one too. Sixers.
They're not fully vaxxed.
Sixers aren't fully vaxxed?
Just found that out today. Sixers and the Celtics are not fully vaxxed. Toronto might be the first round.
So what does that mean? Who's not vaxxed? Are we going to start a wild speculation on who's not vaxxed?
I think Paul Reed, because he's young and he's out the mud.
He doesn't play anyway. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's true. It doesn't matter.
Don't need him.
They know more. Like, I don't think Jaylen Brown's vaxxed because he had that whole, like, it's a personal choice. And then when Al Horford played in Toronto, he was out for personal reasons. So I don't know if those personal reasons where I personally don't want this fucking thing in my shoulder. But the Sixers do play them April 7th, I think. I could be wrong on that. So we're going to find out. We're going to find out who's vaxxed and who's not vaxxed real quick. Hey, love listen. That. I hope it's Joel Embiid because I just want chaos. I really do. Because the people who just hated all on the Phillies for like none of them being vaxxed to then have to like play this grandiose conversation about I love Joel Embiid, but he's not vaxxed, for their heads just to explode. Oh, it would be a great Twitter day.
It's like the same thing with Carson's. Like, I'm so glad he's not our problem anymore.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a quick question about this. How'd you feel? Did you feel like Jim Irsay was a little out of line with his comments?
He hates Carson Wentz.
Yeah. Listen.
He's a drunk, though. We don't know if this is drunk or – like, we don't know if this is drunk or sober.
Listen, like, Jim's had some demons he's dealt with very publicly.
Outside the plane, Jim, that was drunk Jim.
Yeah.
2 a.m. tweeting Jim, like, hey, you saw what you need in the playoffs, a quarterback. That's drunk Jim. NFL meetings, I think it's during the day. I don't know if Jim was tying one on.
They might have a couple of mimosas going on at the bar, you know? I thought it was kind of crazy to just hear him dock somebody, and almost because it sounds like he never wanted him from the beginning.
Yeah, no. Well, Frank Reich said he did stick his neck out for him.
But it's also like, if this season doesn't go well, is Frank Reich getting fired because Jim Irsay is like, hey, asshole, way to ruin my franchise.
This also goes back to the Howie Roseman stuff in the offseason.
Yeah.
And if anyone stayed around for 59 minutes and 5 seconds, thank you. You're now getting a nice little bow on the podcast. Yep. People like Chris Ballard is beloved in NFL Twitter. The guy just signed Giannis Ngakoue after drafting two defensive ends the year prior.
Yeah,
the guys had six. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, the guys had six quarterbacks in the last 6 years. Now I know Andrew Luck did retire at 29, but he'd be 35 right now. Who knows? Like, if Chris Ballard would have been able to turn this thing around, like. Chris Ballard is like, all these GMs make mistakes. Like, this drafting is a fucking crapshoot. And I actually really liked Jeffrey Lurie's comment yesterday when he was talking about, yeah, I fucked up on three things. And it was like drafting Lane Johnson. I didn't know if I really wanted him until Jeff Stoutland said something. Drafting Mailata because he was such a project. And then something else. And then he talked about J-Jaw. And he was like, it was like Paris Campbell versus J-Jaw. Of like who they really wanted, and it was divided. And so they went with Howie and they went with Doug Peterson, who wanted J-Jaw.
So he just go ahead and like confirm that he's meddling in football decisions?
But that was a question. It's like, are you meddling? And I was like, I really stay out of it more than I think. And I'm trying to remember what my point was. But
sorry.
It was no. It was just what were you just talking about?
About Howie Roseman Chris Ballard.
He had a very good conversation about, like, you know, sometimes you don't take these guys because they have a medical injury risk that nobody knows about, but you know about, and you don't want to take them. And hey, listen, then the medical risk never came about and they turn into a star, and you look at him, you're like, how did you pass on that guy? There's so much research these guys do, probably too much research sometimes for these drafts, that is so easy to miss. Well, DK Metcalf's not winning this one.
Let me tell you something, and we'll finish it up with this. All the information that's available on these prospects has to be so completely overwhelming. Now, put me in a situation where I'm trying to buy a vacuum cleaner, and I just start reading reviews. The one I picked out for the one I want, Now I think it's just an absolute piece of shit. And I'm buying a $99 one because I'm like, I don't want to look like an idiot. So I'm just going to get a cheap one. If it breaks, I'll buy another one. I mean, Kate and I went to Lowe's one time knowing we wanted this stove, and the reviews talked us right out of it. We bought a whole different stove. And the sweet
stove you bought good?
It was a good stove, but we don't know if the KitchenAid. Listen, it was a KitchenAid stove. It was supposed to be a nice stove. It was like $1,300 on sale for $9. I'm like, we should go buy this stove. We were in agreement. I walked out with a Maytag.
But you also read good reviews on the vacuum, and the vacuum ended up becoming a piece of shit, you said.
No, I'm just saying, I will get talked out of. If I have too much information, I will talk myself out of things real fast.
See, I'm not a reviews guy.
See, it's crazy because there's times where I'm like, months in advance, I know I'm going to do something. I'm going to buy something, right?
Irons.
Right, yes, fair. Recently, it's been a different product that, you know, I don't want to talk about on the podcast. But I've been buying different products, right? But it's like, if I read too much, I'll talk myself out of something I know I want. I've also become one of these people where I used to be like, oh, it's not in the color I want. I'll just buy it anyway. Then like 3 days will go by. I'm like, fuck. Now I just like won't do it. I'm like, I'm not getting it until it's exactly what I want.
Yeah, I'm a buy it and deal with the problem later. I bought AirPods. Well, I got AirPods for Christmas, the new ones. They don't fit my fucking ears. I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm just going to keep pushing them in my ears every 30 seconds.
AirPods are one of the most convenient things in the world. It's unfortunate for you that they don't fit your ears, but they are revolutionary.
My charger right now, frayed like a motherfucker. You're going to split, going to start a house fire anytime soon. Until that thing goes, I'm not getting a new charger.
Yeah, that's the good for you. I would have bought like six by now because I'm an idiot.
I lost another charger. 2 weeks later, found it. I just dealt with it. I just dealt with being annoying.
I'm a 10-foot charger guy by my bed, so I can do whatever the fuck I want when I'm sleeping.
Wow.
Yeah. I need the space. I need to explore the space.
Before we wrap up.
Yeah.
We're not going to talk until the Final Four and the championship's over. Who you got?
I think it's just like too obvious that Duke's going to win. So I'm just going to say Duke's going to win. I'm going to hate it. But I think Kansas is playing the best basketball.
Okay.
I think Kansas is the best team, but I think Duke kind of has that Team of Destiny thing going on because of Coach K / the NCAA being rigged.
I have a future 101 on North Carolina, so I'm obviously pulling for them. I also have my paycheck resting on Villanova and a video, so I'm pulling for them. I don't like Bill Self. And I was a Duke guy growing up, but Coach K kind of bothers me now, and I've just not become a
– So Duke annoying that you were at one point a Duke guy.
Yeah, you just picked. You picked growing up. What shade of blue did you like?
Well, the Carolina is better. Villanova, Carolina is better.
It is better.
Let me tell you something. I think it would be absolutely hysterical for Coach K to lose to North Carolina.
I do too.
3 times this year and then get bounced out of the Final Four.
It would be awesome.
To his arch rival. And I think he kind of deserves it because he is an asshole.
He is. He's an asshole. He's an absolute asshole. All about yourself asshole.
I guess I looked into more with the Miami kid of him like yelling at him than like lying about it than the audio coming out. Like, what an asshole. What an asshole. Like, it's fine. If you want to go, he also like goes into other teams' dressing rooms like, hey, thanks for playing hard. If I was on that team, I'd be like, can you get your fucking ass out of here? Like, I don't care that you respect us. You just kick the shit out of me. Get out of here.
That kid, reporter for Duke that he undressed on the video call last year, he's like,
yeah,
well, what's your major? And he goes like, well, like poli-sci, economics. And he's like, well, you know, you got to do your classes. You got to do your homework. You got to do all this. Like, he just undressed the kid. And it was just like, dude, just give an answer. Give a canned answer like you've been doing for 40 years. And let's move along.
Yeah. Like, at what point, I mean, what point do you become bigger than the game? What a fucking dick. I hope he loses. I'm rooting against them.
What if he's down 20 and he goes into vertigo again? No, that was Roy Williams. What if he goes down and he's back? And John Shire comes back. That would be cool. If John Shire won the title because Coach K was in the hospital,
yeah,
does that make it a little lighter?
Yeah, sure, that's fine. But does Coach K have to take the loss if they lose? Is it on Coach K's record?
But it's not Coach K's. No, every loss that he's missed is not his losses. So that's not his championship. That would be awesome.
That's even better. Then you think he goes, runs it back one more year?
If he lost to Texas Tech and he ended up on 99 wins, he runs it back next year. He said, John, I'm coming back.
One more tournament win. Is that what he needed?
That's what he would have needed.
What a fucking loser Coach K is. You're a loser. Coach K's a loser.
Oh, man.
All right.
So Nova, Kansas, you're rooting for?
I would like to see Villanova win. I like Jay Wright, and I don't have any kind of tie for. I don't have any kind of tie to a school around here, but I would say if Temple was in, that's my squad.
Oh, I know you would. I know you'd ride.
I'd ride. Unless by some miracle UMass was good at the same time, then I would have to root for him. But
hey, Frank Martin.
That'll never happen. It's a huge hire. The Minutemen needed that. Yeah. All right, guys. So I think that pretty much wraps up this week's episode. Let's talk a little bit about, let's say, April 12th. A little bit of a tease here for everybody, right? There's a possibility, pending approval from the league, that Kyle and I may be down watching the Phillies-Mets game on a Tuesday night, doing a live podcast, make a little bit of video, make fun of me, whatever you want to do. We will tweet out the details if we do get that approved from the boss. The boss not being Kyle Scott, although I'm assuming we need his approval too, right?
No, we're not.
Oh, I don't need his approval.
He doesn't listen to this.
Well, remember he ghosted us?
Yeah. Oh, people don't forget.
People don't forget. Let's get Kyle on the podcast. He's asking about that. I'm just going to ask him for money and a job. He's probably like, why am I on here? I'd be like, sorry.
So who are you again?
Yeah. Just like when Adam Lefkoe didn't remember who we were. All right. Anyway. Thank you so much for listening to the Water Boys podcast presented by Crossing Broad. We'll talk to you next week.